I'm Amy Goodman. Stay tuned now for Tell Somebody with Tom Clammer.
In fact, right now, about 33% of part-time faculty in Missouri live near or below the poverty line, and it's 45% in Kansas. Being a professor is a job that requires advanced degrees, years of experience, and plenty of talent, but it's just not paying off.
McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, Subway, to pay their workers $15 an hour and give us the right to form a union without retaliation.
This week on Tell Somebody, sounds from the April 15, 2015, $15 and Good Jobs for All rally in Kansas City. Stand by for Tell Somebody. Welcome to Tell Somebody for April 30th, 2015, www.tellsomebody.us, on Twitter, at Tell Somebody Now. Look for Tell Somebody Now on Facebook and like it. And remember, you can subscribe to the podcast for free at the iTunes Store. This is your host, Tom Clammer. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the station or anybody else involved with it. 2 weeks ago, April 15th, after other events beginning at 6 o'clock that morning, hundreds, maybe as many as 2,000 people rallied in Tice Park, always to me, Volker Park, in Kansas City, and marched to the University of Missouri Kansas City campus demanding good jobs and $15 and recognition of the right to join a union. This was at least the seventh such gathering of fast food workers in Kansas City, this time joined by home care workers and adjunct professors. The mayor even participated. Similar events occurred in 236 cities around the United States. Fast food worker Terrence Wise emceed the speakers at the April 15th Kansas City rally, and before going to audio from that, I'd like you to listen to a couple clips from a phone conversation I had with Terrence almost a year and a half ago, a little bit ahead of a December 2013 protest and strike. Terrence Wise, welcome to Tell Somebody.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me more about what you hope to accomplish with this.
Well, the campaign, the fight for $15 an hour in a union, it's been going for 2 years. The movement's been growing. It's captured the attention of the nation, elected leaders in this country, all low-wage workers in different industries in this country have been drawn into the movement, and it's to get out, continue to spread and educate the public and workers that this is our constitutional right, and we can't let corporations take it from us. We're demanding a living wage. We're demanding that these billion-dollar corporations that we work for, McDonald's, Burger King, where I've worked for the last 10 years, that they pay us what they owe us, $15 an hour and a union, and we know these corporations can do it. Our campaign is not aimed at the government. We're not waiting on government. We already get and are surviving on government assistance. We are putting pressure on these companies we work for them to make the changes, for them to give us $15 an hour and a union with benefits and paid sick time, things that we don't have. And so this will be the biggest strike to date, the sixth strike, in Kansas City, And as we've shown in the past, we've just continued to grow our numbers and get more and more low-wage workers out on the line with us, because we know that's what it's going to take to put pressure on these companies to make changes.
And I can imagine some workers being a little afraid to participate for fear of retaliation, but I think I read that nobody that's done this in Kansas City has been fired so far. Is that right?
That is correct. It is. We are exercising our constitutional rights, rights that have been fought for us from past labor movements in this country, the right to organize, the right to go on strike. These are rights that have been given to us that we're choosing to exercise. And Kansas City has been on 5 strikes, and that is correct. 0 people have been fired. 0. We're batting 100.
And
that's because we are strong together. We protect each other. The allies in this community ask that this city respect workers and our rights to stand up and fight. So we've had a combination of allies and supporters and workers standing together and using our right, exercising our right to go on strike and organize. And it's been key to no workers being fired in Kansas City and growth in the movement.
Any number of times I've seen on cable news shows some talking head or politician, you know, in a comfortable position saying these minimum wage jobs in the fast food industry are just for kids to make a little extra spending money, and so we don't need to be subsidizing that, and it's bad for the economy. But you say you've been working at Burger King for 10 years.
Oh, yeah, I've been working at Burger King for 10 years. I'm 35 years old, and I've been working in fast food and retail since I was 16, but I've been at Burger King the last 10 years, and we know that jobs, Burger King, McDonald's, the dollar stores, the gas station, these are all low-wage jobs, and these are the bad jobs of today. They once said that the bad jobs of yesterday were the auto workers and the sanitation workers. They earn penny wages like we do now, and those jobs that are good jobs now with unions and benefits and paid sick time off, those were the bad jobs of yesterday. And those people, those workers organized, came together, fought for the rights that we have now. So if they could make those bad jobs of yesterday good jobs today, we intend to replicate the same thing with fast food workers and low-wage workers in today's movement. Make these bad jobs good jobs.
And I imagine there are a fair number of high school students doing this kind of work, but you're by no means alone as being adult making a living at this. You have a lot of colleagues doing that, don't you?
Well, that's a myth the industry tries to perpetuate. I know it's less than 20% of workers in this industry that are high schoolers, that are just teenagers looking for extra spending cash. In my shop where I work at Burger King, it's adults with families and kids. There aren't many high schoolers working these jobs. They know that they are hiring adults that are raising families and that deserve a living wage. As these companies make billions in profits every year, but our wages stay the same. The prices on the menus rise, our pay stays the same. We go year in and year out just struggling to survive while they make record profits every year. So the myth that it's a bunch of high schoolers and teenagers working, we've already proven that to be wrong. These are adults they're hiring to handle the responsibilities of their business, and they should pay us a living wage.
As you said, this has gone on in Kansas City for a couple of years now. Have you participated in the past events?
Well, I've been on strike 5 times here in Kansas City. Next week will be strike number 6. So I've been around and involved in the movement Kansas City from very early on. Today we have over 150 cities participating in strikes in over 30 countries globally supporting and out there on the strike lines with us. And when Kansas City first got involved, it was 7 cities involved. So Kansas City and myself, I've been involved from very early on in the movement, and I've seen the growth.
Wow, 7 cities that first time. Now 236 cities across the country. And again, that was Terrence Wise, recorded in November of 2013. Now give a listen to Terrence Wise, April 15th, 2015.
First and foremost, I want to welcome everybody out. I would go down the line and name everybody. I'll just shout out a few. Where are my auto workers at that are in the building? Where are all my people from the faith community that are out today? Where are all the people from the civil rights organization, CCO, Job with Justice? And last but not least, where are all the workers at today? That would be everybody. Well, my name is Terrence Wise, and I hail from right here in Kansas City, Missouri. Thank you. I'm a fast food worker, and I've been in this industry for 17 years. And now here today, my family's out here, my fiance, my three little girls. And after working 17 years in this industry, watching things not even stay the same, just get worse, our time is now for all of us to be standing and fighting for better for all. And not only here in Kansas City, but all across the country, workers are standing up. We've got students out in full force today. Where are my students at? We got adjunct professors out in the house tonight, standing up for what's right. And this is the biggest movement. This is what this country needs. This is what's going to bring all of us out of poverty and take us to the promised land. So this is a day that will go down in history, and you should all feel like you're making a part of history right here in Thieves Park today. Can I get a round of applause for that? Hey, Miss Pat Jones! The A. Philip Randolph Institution in the building. Gotta love those guys. Well, we're running a little over schedule. We got good barbecue going on. We got great speakers coming up to speak. So I want to go ahead and get it started. Can we give some of the, can we promise the speakers our undivided attention? Can I get one fist in the air for our speakers? That's what democracy and solidarity looks like right there. First we're going to have Reverend Susan McCann come up. She's from Grace Episcopal Church in Liberty, Missouri. She's a leader with CCO, and she's been standing with low-wage workers from the beginning. So can I get a round of applause for Reverend Susan McCann?
Thank you, Terrence. This is a great day, and it's not over yet. Since 6 o'clock this morning, courageous workers and their allies have been showing up, speaking up, standing up for the 7th time in Kansas City, demanding the respect that they deserve. A living wage of at least $15 an hour, and a union which will guarantee safe working conditions, benefits like paid days off, maternity leave, health care. As a faith leader, it has been my privilege to stand with you at every strike. This is holy work, godly work. The sacred work of trying to create a moral economy that reflects the God-given dignity of every working person, an economy that honors the nobility of all work, an economy in which every working person earns enough money to share in the American dream, an economy in which no one who works full-time lives in poverty. No child goes to bed hungry, and no mother or father has to choose between buying food for their family or paying the rent. The faith community has prayed with you and for you. We have been with you at every walk back, even at 4 o'clock in the morning, reminding employers that when workers stand up for their rights, the faith community stands with them. When management tries to retaliate against you, the faith community stands in solidarity with you. Pastors and priests have worked to remind owners and managers of their higher angels, and when necessary, federal employment law. Because of your leadership, your boldness in speaking truth to power, your willingness to do whatever it takes, including nonviolent civil disobedience, this movement has grown exponentially. Your courage is fueling the courage of other workers. Today, in 236 cities in the United States and 40 countries across the globe, fast food workers, retail workers, home care workers, airport workers, and adjunct faculty are standing together and saying with one voice, we are worth more. Our children are worth more. You are building a powerful, multiracial, multicultural movement, and you are winning. Since the first strike, the minimum wage has been raised in 15 cities and 20 states. No, not enough of a raise, but a step in the right direction. McDonald's and Walmart, two of the largest employers in this country, have announced that they are raising employee wages. No, these raises aren't enough, and they affect only a small percent of employees. But take pride in knowing that this would never have happened if you had not used your collective power, the power of this movement, to demand these changes. You have forced the most powerful, the wealthiest corporations in the country to not only take notice of you, but to take action. Make no mistake, this movement is winning. The prophet Amos said, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Low-wage workers deserve justice, and they deserve it today. This is a profoundly moral issue. This is about creating a moral economy. This is about moving the dignity of all persons to the center of public life. All workers deserve respect, fair wages, benefits, and the right to unionize without retaliation. The faith community stands in solidarity with you because this is our movement too. We need you to win, because when you win, everyone in the community wins. The faith community stands in solidarity with you because we share the same vision, a moral economy, one that values the dignity of all work and the dignity of all workers. A moral economy is concerned with how we make our money, how we treat our people, and who's in and who gets left behind. If an industry relies on exploitation, it fails the test of a moral economy and must change. When corporations make billions of dollars in profits while its employees work hard in two or three jobs and still live in poverty, it must change. If an industry relies on shortchanging its workers and forcing taxpayers to pick up the slack, it must change. Our people are worth more. How we treat our people. It is unconscionable that people work full time and still do not have access to a doctor or even time to go to one. It is unconscionable for employers to give its employees no paid days off, no sick time, no health care. If a business keeps its wages so low that its workers need food stamps to survive, it must change. Our people are worth more. And finally, who's in and who gets left behind? Part of the real history of Kansas City is that racism played a very big part in how this city developed over the last 100 years. It's time for us to be honest about that and recognize that while everyone should have meaningful access to opportunity, not everyone does. A moral economy looks for ways to ensure that everyone, all races, all ethnicities, have equal opportunities. Our people are worth more. Together, we must continue to bear witness to an economic system that is fueled by insatiable greed, inordinate corporate profits, poverty wages, and systemic racism and classism. Workers of all colors, all faiths, and no faith at all share a common hope: good jobs, a livable wage, the ability to provide for themselves and their families, and opportunities for their children to thrive. The greatest prophet of our time, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., said the moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We are engaged not in a moment, but in a movement to bend that arc toward a moral economy. Thank you for your prophetic leadership. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your dedication. Thank you for your tireless example. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Susan McCann. Can I have a round of applause for Reverend Susan McCann? And as I look around, I see the sign, Bone Strike, Good Jobs for All, Union. And we know we're fighting for 15 in a union. This has never been a minimum wage campaign. We've already depended on public assistance, government assistance for far too long. So we can stop that rhetoric about minimum wage hike and this being a minimum wage campaign. This is a movement for these billion-dollar companies we work for, McDonald's, Burger King,
Wendy's, Subway, to pay their workers $15 an hour and give us the right to form a union without retaliation. Now we appreciate the minimum wage being on the ballot and being in discussion and being raised, but that's not what this movement is about. It's about these corporations and this $200 billion industry.
Yes.
Now, our next speaker is a man who truly cares about a living wage here in this city, truly cares. And we were happy to be at the State of the City address where he had fast food workers, LaToya Caldwell, a national leader, present. And a little more on the guy. I know he's a great musician, I've heard a little about. I haven't been able to witness it yet. But Mayor Sly James, he has been an economic and civil leader in our great city since 2001. He's been an important supporter of the movement and the raises and the movement to create raises and create good jobs for all. And workers are proud to call him the mayor of our city.
Right.
Mayor Sly James.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you for being here. The one thing that we always must remember is that nothing is going to happen unless we act together. If we do not act together, we will be picked off one by one, separated, called from the herd, and nothing will happen. The only things that have ever changed the course of history in this country have been when people who believed in something fervently, people who were willing to give up their lives for it, people who were willing to devote their treasure to it, combined with others to do the same thing and stuck together until it happened. Another thing about those people, they voted. And in this city, let's be honest, we don't vote. They're taking registration right up there under those trees. We must vote. You cannot get the people out of office who are doing this to you unless you vote them out. And you can't vote them out if you don't vote. You must vote. We must always vote. It is not something that requires a lot of effort. It is not something that requires you to go a long distance. You walk into a church or some building, you pick up a pencil, you fill in some circles by the names of the people you want, and you can be in and out in 20 minutes, half hour. It is important that we show them that we will show up at the vote at the polls. Otherwise, they'll just ignore us. We do not have the money to compete with the business interests and million-dollar lobbyists, but we do have a million people who will stand with us and make sure that they hear the voice. We must vote. I also want to ask you to do me one favor. Give the federal employee workers union people who are here from surrounding states who came out to support you, left their conference, give them a Kansas City welcome if you would. It is immoral. It is unjust. It is unreasonable. It is unforgivable. It is unexplainable that we all live in the richest, most powerful, best country in the world, and people work 40 hours a week and cannot feed their families. People work 40 hours a week and cannot put food on the table, cannot buy the clothes that they need, cannot take care of their children's needs, cannot access health care, cannot do things that other people do and take for granted. It is time for us to recognize that, and it is time for it to stop. There's something else that we need to do, and I'm going to be real with you. The people who would have you lose this fight are sitting there and saying, just wait, just wait. We know these people. They don't vote. They can't hold together. They won't be organized. They'll fall apart. Just give them a chance. We cannot fulfill their prophecy. We cannot live up to their stereotypes. They don't respect us as individuals, or they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. We should never give them a reason to believe that they're right. They must understand that we are people. Low-paying jobs don't mean low-life people.
All right. All right.
It is no mystery to me that this impact of these wages falls heaviest on women, on children, on brown and black folks, on poor folks, while others are buying new yachts and Maseratis and living the high life. Profits are at record levels, while wages have been stagnant for a decade. It has to change. But it has to change in a way that brings people together. Because at the end of the day, we're all going to still need each other to do those other things that need to be done in this country. So let's hold together. Let's work together. Let's fight the same fight. Let's vote every single time. Let's vote. Vote the people who do this out of office. Take back our country seems to be a popular phrase. Let's take back our state. Let's make the state of Missouri raise that wage. Let's make the state of Missouri do the right thing. Thank you very much.
The show today is about the fight for $15 an hour and a union 2 weeks ago on April 15th, with strikes and rallies and marches in 236 cities across America, and this is about the seventh one in Kansas City. It was good to hear the mayor speaking out on this issue. There were speakers that came after him, and I wasn't able to get good audio of all of them. There were no problems that I ever heard about, but there was quite a police presence in and around the park, including 6 mounted police and a couple on little all-terrain vehicles. I was told that there were 2 big SUV mobile command centers, or whatever one calls them, in a parking lot a couple of blocks east of the park. About the time all the attendees began to line up to walk to the university, a small drone, apparently controlled by a guy in civilian clothes, hovered above the middle of the park. Probably a hobbyist playing around or taking pictures, or maybe the police practicing with a new toy, I don't know. After the speechifying and burgers and hot dogs, the crowd began to line up and start marching west on 47th Street. Ahead of the line and stopped at one point and watched as it took over 8 minutes for the bulk of the marchers to go past, and then after a gap, another couple of minutes for the last of the participants to go by, and those finally followed by the six police on horseback and the two on ATVs. They continued west to Main Street, then south on Brookside, and back east on 51st Street to a corner in the middle of the UMKC campus.
Thank you.
wages, work off the clock, can't get full-time hours, and go to two or three jobs just to get by.
Yeah.
Most of us receive no health care or benefits. Some of us have worked years without a raise and have been passed over for promotion over and over again. I think that sounds familiar, right?
Yeah.
In fact, right now, about 33% of part-time faculty in Missouri live near or below the poverty line. And it's 45% in Kansas. Being a professor is a job that requires advanced degrees, years of experience, and plenty of talent. But it's just not paying off. With more than two-thirds of all instructional faculty not on a tenure track and teaching the bulk of student classes and student-required courses, too many of us aren't making it. That's right. We can't invest in students without putting funds towards instruction. By demanding a union and minimum per course standard of $15K in pay and benefits, because adjuncts are paid by course, we are calling on colleges and universities to put their resources where they most benefit students.
Woo!
This will put money back into the community and give faculty the resources that we need. It's time colleges and universities pay more than lip service to the value of education. By sticking together, instructors and professors in the faculty core movement are changing the landscape of higher education. President Obama's call to make community college free for everyone in this country is a challenge worth pursuing. We think college at every level ought to be affordable and accessible to anyone.
I knew this was relevant to students because so many students have to rely on minimum wage jobs to get through school to support themselves. It's my reality and every student's reality. It'll be our future when we graduate. Low-wage jobs are the fastest growing jobs in our economy. There are 2,600,000 people with college degrees who are working in minimum wage jobs right now. These are the jobs that are available, and we need to make these jobs good jobs.
That's right.
We students are here to stand with low-wage workers. We're here today because we support living wages for everyone. If you're a student who works hard at school and at your job, you should be able to support yourself and pay the bills.
No one should work in this country, regardless of what you do. Work hard every day and be paid all the way, no matter what you do. No matter if it's some of my coworkers, our great, no matter if
they're... Hi, what's your name?
My name is Liz Jacquino.
And I heard you speak a little bit here this evening. You're an adjunct here at UMKC. Can you just talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so I was a graduate teacher for 2 years. It was part of a sort of a contract as a graduate student to sort of supplement my degree, right, and also get training in teaching, which is my dream. It's my dream to be a professor. And so I have a 3-year program, so that third year I look to adjuncting to sort of supplement my income. And so that's how I got into adjuncting.
There's a lot of stereotypes about fast food workers. Many of them don't hold up, but like that they're just kids. Doesn't matter what they make because it's just spending money. When there's really a lot of people supporting families, what are some stereotypes about higher learning that maybe don't hold true and have you in concert with fast food workers?
Well, I think some of the biggest concerns is we're asking in faculty forward for $15K for pay and benefits. And some people ask us, you know, isn't that too much? But the thing that people don't know, actually, there's a lot of sort of myth going around that my students didn't know that I don't get maternity leave, I don't get paid time off, I don't get compensated if, for example, my class is canceled. And so $15K pay plus benefits would mean health insurance. It would mean adjuncts getting paid time off, maternity leave, the things that most people in most American jobs, people with advanced degrees, get. And so that's one thing that I think we're really looking to clear up is that adjuncts aren't getting anything except a base pay per course. And that pay itself is very low. It's $2,700 is the national average per course. And a full load is 4 courses. So if you do the math for the year, adjuncts with, you know, advanced degrees are making $20K, $25K at most.
And this in an era of changing landscape of student loan situation from when I went to school.
Mm-hmm. And I will admit myself, I have a substantial amount of loans, somewhere around $50K, and that's from undergraduate and graduate, you know. And the thing that I really, you know, think about and that really I feel personally and I see in my students is that everyone is working to better themselves. They're working to be educated. They're working to advance their careers, to make it in the world. And students, even in, there are lots of fast food workers who are students, right? And they're trying to get themselves by in school. And all we're finding is that we're coming out with massive amounts of loans, no jobs, or low paying jobs. And something about this isn't right. You know, why get an education if we're not rewarded for the efforts we're putting to be good citizens and good people, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to get out there that I didn't ask you about?
The one thing I would say is that, you know, I have a lot of support from my departments. So the people that I see, the chairperson, the professors, they're really supportive. The thing that I'm calling to, or the people that really I would love to see them sort of answer to this, are the deans, the provost, the people in charge, the people who technically sort of allot the amount of money and amount of jobs that each department can take care of. It's sort of strange that my boss, the people that I interact with every day, they're not really in charge of my fate as much as I think they are, or as much as they should be. And there's this distance between who pays you, who's really in charge of your fate and your work. And I'd love to see that. I'd love to see something done about that. I'd love for the departments to have more control over this, or unions, for unions to be able to work with the deans and the provosts, because adjuncts don't have a voice. We barely see each other because we're running around to four different campuses to make it, and we don't have a voice right now, and that's especially why we're asking for a union. We need a voice so badly.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'd like to read a little bit from a couple articles and such. One from Bloomberg Business Online, headlined, Fast Food Workers Rally in 236 Cities Seeking Higher Pay. Fast food workers held rallies in 236 U.S. cities Wednesday in their biggest protest yet for higher pay and union rights. The events were organized by the union-backed Fight for 15 campaign, which is demanding that McDonald's Corporation and other fast food chains raise their minimum wages to $15 and let workers unionize. The rallies, which drew tens of thousands of workers, are the largest action to date for a movement begun in November 2012, organizers said. About 1,000 workers protested outside of McDonald's in Brooklyn, New York, while others rallied in cities such as Chicago, Miami, and Washington, according to organizers. Fast food employees also went on strike in New Zealand and protested in Finland and Japan. In Chicago, about 150 people protested outside of McDonald's on the city's south side, said David Rojas, a spokesman for Fight for 15 in Chicago. Protesters were also joined by about 40 striking truck drivers and security guards, he said. McDonald's said earlier this month it would raise wages and offer paid vacations at U.S. company-owned stores, which account for about 10% of its more than 14,000 domestic restaurants. The move came after a handful of major retail chains announced wage hikes amid a tightening labor market. The restaurant chain's critics weren't mollified, saying the announcement was a public relations stunt designed to fend off the growing protest movement. Instead, McDonald's emboldened the protesters, said Mary Kay Henry, president of the Service Employees International Union, SEIU, the labor group backing the rallies, joining together to improve their lives. That's what this movement is about. It showed that if we come together, things can change, Henry said in an interview. There's momentum behind working people joining together to improve their lives. That's what this movement is about. And I got a press release from Stand Up KC, media advisory for Friday, May 1st, 2015. That's tomorrow. Kansas City fast food workers to kick off art exhibit with Artist Talk. Fast food workers host their first art exhibit to give a window into the hopes, fears, dreams, and daily struggles of America's working poor. Following the largest ever mobilization by low-wage workers on April 15th, workers present I, Too, Am America, a photography exhibit. The exhibit will open on Friday, May 1st, 2015 at the Talk Shop Gallery, 3936 Main Street in Kansas City, Missouri, and will run the month of May. On opening night, workers will be hosting an artist talk and reception to discuss their work. The exhibit showcases the work of local amateur photographers who are fast food workers active in the Fight for 15. The exhibit is a production of the Langston Hughes Club, an arts and culture committee of fast food workers in Kansas City, fighting for $15 an hour and the right to form a union. The committee brings together workers interested in the visual and performing arts and allows them to train with professional artists in various mediums. The mission is to allow workers to train in the arts in order to document their lives and tell their own stories. And then we got the who, what, when, where. Who? Kansas City fast food workers. What? Kansas City fast food workers host an artist talk and reception for their I Too Am America photo exhibit. When? Friday, May 1st, tomorrow, at 6 p.m. Where? Talk Shop Gallery, 3936 Main, Kansas City, Missouri. And there's a lot more information that you can probably find at standupkc.org or the StandupKC Facebook page. And just briefly, a couple more things I want to read that are further down in this email. They quote Slate saying that the Fight for 15 movement managed to completely rewire how the public and politicians think about wages. MSNBC said the movement entirely changed the politics of the country. And Fortune said it transformed labor organizing from a process often centered on nickel-and-dime negotiations with a single employer into a social justice movement that transcends industry and geographic boundaries. That's it. We're out of time. You've been listening to the podcast edition of Tell Somebody, www.tellsomebody.us. Comments or questions, send an email to mail@tellsomebody.us. You can also follow me on Twitter @TellSomebodyNow. The Tell Somebody podcast is produced and distributed by Tell Somebody and may or may not reflect the broadcast of Tell Somebody, heard on 90.1 FM KKFI in Kansas City, streaming around the world at www.kkfi.org. I'll be on 90.1 FM KKFI every Thursday morning at 9, right after Democracy Now! If you haven't heard Tell Somebody before, I hope you'll listen again. Check out the podcast and the broadcast. Click on a tile at www.tellsomebody.us for a link to a past show. If you enjoyed the show and appreciated the information you got from it, please tell somebody about the podcast and the broadcast. Spread the word to your friends and contacts by word of mouth or Facebook or Twitter or email list, or any other way you can think of. This is Tom Clammer. I'll see you next Thursday at 9 a.m. on Tell Somebody, or anytime you like, at www.tellsomebody.us.